Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, we are in the season of our Holy Week, the Spring Festival of Passover. So we call this Holy Week. We have one in the spring and one in the fall. So this is a big deal for all of us. So I want to talk about our Holy Week of Passover. This set of holy days that are within this week, they reveal and they exalt and they celebrate Jesus as the Lamb of God who makes atonement for the sin of the world so that whoever so believes in him shall not perish in hell, but receive and experience true life now and forevermore. We keep and we celebrate the Holy Week of Passover simply because God commanded us to, and the apostles modeled it for us. It is for the glory of Jesus. So if you're new to this, you're going to love it. You're home now, right? Don't just believe. Follow Jesus. It's not just simply a faith thing, but also a way of life. The calendar orders our life. The calendar structures our life. The calendar is a way of life, and it's all about Jesus. Acts 24, I think it's verse 14. I'm not sure if we have that slide. Yeah, there we go. Verse 14, great. I did not have that in my notes. This is Paul giving his testimony, one of the times that he would stand and have to give his testimony. This is what he says. I think it's just intriguing. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, that's what they call Jesus' movement, his colleagues, the other Jewish sects of Judaism, they called his sect the way. Another reference in which they refer to his sect is they call it the sect of the Nazarene. Okay? Paul says, I confess this to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets. What? Paul said that? The version of Paul we have today is a man who has rejected the law and proclaims to the Gentile, you're free from it. Let me read that again. Paul says, I worship the God of our fathers. I believe in everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets. One of the things that has shaken Christianity in a good way for the last couple decades is a movement within Christianity called the NPP scholars, the New Pauline Perspective scholars. And basically what they've said is this. It's time that we revisit the words of Jesus and Paul within their first century context, rather than understanding them through the lens of the reformers of the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries, as they commented on his words within the context of their beef with the Roman Catholic Church. And so because of that, for decades now, there's been a whole lot of new scholarship revisiting the words of Jesus and Paul in their own first century Jewish milieu. It's a game changer. What we know today about Paul and Jesus is much clearer than what it's been since the first century. It's amazing to see all the scholarship rising up and clarifying things, which then cause us to make some adjustments along the way. And for those that don't like adjustments, oh my gosh, really? Right? But if you like change, well, here we are. It's 2025, right? And we're rocking and rolling. So All right. One of the first issues, top issues, related to sanctification, not justification. We are saved by grace through faith, and faith alone in the blood of Jesus. Not by works, apart from the Torah, right? Yes. But when it comes to sanctification, how we live our lives, the law is directly related to that realm. And one of the first tier issues related to sanctification is, you guessed it, God's calendar. God has a calendar, a holy calendar. Now, keep in mind that the word holy in Hebrew conveys the idea of being separate and different. So if you wanted to make the utensils that are going to be used in the temple holy, you simply would gather them and wash them and dedicate them for that particular use. They would become holy through a variety of different mechanisms, but the end result would be they're set aside and they can only be used in the temple. They're the same utensils you have in your kitchen at home. What makes them holy and the ones in your kitchen common or ordinary is these are set aside for a holy use. All the days on the calendar are common, ordinary days, except for the ones that God says, these days I've set apart and I've made them holy. Therefore, those days are now holy. They're designed for a holy purpose, for a holy people. They're holy because God declared them to be holy. They're distinct and different from the common days. He's infused them with blessing, and that blessing comes to everyone who observes his holy days. Give me an amen. I'm joking. I know you're encouraged. I see it on your faces. Okay. Hold those emotions in. Stay in control. Okay. I'm going to be really, really super clear here. Okay? How many people just love Elijah? You like Elijah? Is Elijah one of the popular guys of... How about Elisha? Jeremiah? Yeah, no one really likes the prophets, because they always talk about sanctification. They always talk about what it means to live a holy life. They always highlighted when we were off track. So we stuck our fingers in our ears and said, la-da-da-da-da. We don't want to hear it. And when they spoke louder, we stoned them. We say we like the prophets, but we really don't, because of their role that they play in our lives. God sends the prophets to remind his people that he has saved them in their sin and shame and is now delivering them out of their sin and shame. And the prophets come to call us out of our Egypts of sin and shame. The calendar is designed to be a cycle of sanctification that calls us out of the world that we're living in, to help us to understand that we're a holy people called by a holy God to live a holy life. And the calendar is a part of that. Sunday is a common day. Sunday is an ordinary day, just like Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. These are called common days or ordinary days. The seventh day, the Shabbat, is holy unto the Lord. It is the Lord's day. It belongs to him. He's made it holy. He's infused it with blessing. He set it apart and gave it to his people. Thus says the Lord. I've been wanting to do this for years. You know, I always tell people when I sense God is saying something, I say, I sense the Lord is saying this, you know. I sense. I love my Pentecostal brothers and sisters. Everything is a thus saith the Lord. I mean, you know, everything. I just never do that. It's a rare occasion that I'll do a thus saith the Lord. I'm going to do one. Thus saith the Lord. For those who have ears to hear, listen. Thus saith the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day to observe it and keep it. Because that's what he said. That's why I can say, thus saith the Lord. It's a safe one. That's exactly what he said. Now, I know that we read that sometimes differently from a Catholic or Protestant tradition. Hebrew is very difficult. It's hard to understand. I think the way that we thought it was read was, remember the Sabbath day, to change it to Sunday. But a closer read is a little bit different. It's actually, remember the Sabbath day to observe it and keep it holy. When you keep the Sabbath, it makes you different. It makes you different from everyone around you. People always tell me, so where do you go to church? I tell them, I go to the Harvest, you know? When they find out I'm going on Saturday, they're like, "What? Why would you go on Saturday? What's wrong with you? Don't you know we go on Sunday?" I said, no, the whole church keeps Saturday. Every week? Yeah, every week. You don't do Sunday? No, we do Saturday. Why would you do that? I don't know. I mean, it just reads pretty clear to me, you know? I don't know. Reads pretty clear. When I keep it and when you keep it, it makes you and me different. It makes us holy like he is holy, because that's the day that he says is holy unto him. All of the annual holy days on the calendar are also holy to the Lord and to his people. Are you one of his people? Are you one of his people? He says, these days are holy to me, and I'm giving them to my people. If you're not identifying as the people of God, you're off the hook. None of this matters. But if you include yourself as being part of the people of God, listen up. Paul said, we too worship God and believe everything written in Moses' teachings and the prophets. 1 Peter 1:14-16. As obedient children, and keep in mind he's talking to the Gentiles too, not just Jewish believers. The primary audience is Gentile. They're overwhelming in terms of numbers, the Jewish communities in the first century. So Paul says to believing Jews and believing Gentiles, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who is called Jew is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. He saved them in their sin and shame. He came to them in Egypt, in the house of bondage. He saved them in their sin and shame. And then he said, all right, get ready. I'm taking you out. Isn't it weird how we want to stay in it? It's like, can't you just save me and leave me alone in Egypt? You know, I kind of like my sin. I just don't like the consequences. Could you remove the consequences and just let me stay in my sin? God says, no, I can't do that. I love you too much. I'm going to save you by my grace through the blood of the Lamb, but then I'm going to empower you by my Spirit to come out of your houses of sin and shame. The holy days are revelations of Yeshua the Messiah. All of the holy days are about Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. They reveal who he is and why he comes to save us. They tell the story of redemption through all of the five senses. Our five senses are engaged in these celebrations as we learn about Jesus, why he comes to save us, how he saves us, how he makes us holy, how he empowers us and orders our lives and infuses everything with blessing. We learn through the holy days that he is the creator, the savior, the sanctifier, and the glorifier of all who believe in him. The holy days serve as memorials of everything that he's already done and accomplished. And not only do they serve as reminders of the past, they also are prophetic in pointing forward to what is still coming. Colossians 2, 16 through 18. Paul says, "Don't let anyone pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are shadows of the things to come. But the substance that casts the shadow belongs to Christ." So these holy days give us a frame of reference of who he is and what he's done and what he's still going to do in the future. And these types and shadows that are in these celebrations find their reality in him. He casts the shadow. The shadow is not juxtaposed to the thing that casts it. It's a part of what casts it. You walk in the shadow of a tree and follow it, you'll bump into the tree that's casting the shadow. And that's the design of the shadow, to help you encounter the very thing or the one who casts it. That's why when we keep God's calendar, it keeps us. When we keep the calendar, it informs us about Jesus and all that he's doing. Our kids are being raised from the time they're little, running around looking for leaven in the house, or, you know, all the different things we do, right? They're learning about Jesus so that as they grow up at a given point, as they encounter him, the one that casts the shadows, they embrace him because they recognize him. Screw up the calendar. Change it. Add a bunch of traditions that are foreign, and you will confuse everyone. The clarity of Jesus will be distorted. The calendar is designed to reveal and keep us centered in Jesus. The holy days are also identity issues. They identify us as belonging to God and God belonging to us. They define us, they inform us, they guard us, they empower us, they bless us. So let's start with the first annual holy day. All of that was an introduction. And I'm almost out of time. Happens every week. Okay, so let's start with the first annual holy day. The first annual holy day is the Passover. Exodus 12, 1 through 2. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you." As a Gentile who believes in Jesus, the Jew, the Jewish Messiah, who then makes an atonement for all of the world, as you believe in Jesus, you're grafted into the Jewish people, the olive tree of Israel, so that all this becomes yours too. The God of the Jews becomes your God too. And he doesn't have two sets of commandments, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles. Like there's two sets of morality, two different versions of right and wrong, one for the Jews, one for the Gentiles. No, one people, one Lord, one faith, one law, one land, one. We get grafted in. This becomes part of our inheritance. I was adopted when I was a child. I was rejected and then adopted. Not really rejected. It's just that my mom was a teenager when she was pregnant and couldn't keep me. So I was given up for adoption. When I got adopted, I got a new birth certificate. I went from Martinez to McClellan. Everything changed when I got adopted. My name changed. My parents changed. I got new aunts and uncles. I had new ancestors too. Everything changed. I was in a whole different people group with a whole different set of traditions. My parents never reminded me, hey, you were once a Martinez, you know. You stay over there. McClellans go to church on this day. The Martinezes go to church on that day. The McClellans eat this diet. The Martinezes eat that diet. No, I got to be a McClellan. I got to do everything McClellans do because I was adopted as part of the family. As Gentiles in Messiah, you're grafted in. You become part of Israel. Her God becomes your God. Her ways become your ways. We are one family. That's why all of this is so important. This is the beginning of the year for us. This is our spiritual new year. When do we start our civil new year? January. Bitter cold. The dead of winter. Everything is death. Everywhere I look, there's death all around, right? Ooh, happy new year. Yeah. Can't wait to get out today. You know, God says, no, I'm going to do something different. Your new year is going to begin in the spring. Spring is in the air. Life is everywhere. Oh, I went out. The blossoms all over my trees already. Now it's Colorado. Maybe the tree won't even make it. But life is everywhere. This is our new year. He goes on to say, till the congregation of Israel on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, and shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. This is the first Passover. This is the original, the OG Passover with Moses. Keep in mind that these are all types and shadows to teach us about the coming Lamb of God. So when we look at the Lamb in Egypt, it's a type and shadow of what God's going to do. That's why it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He fulfills the types and shadows. Verse 6. So they take this lamb in on the 10th of Nisan. Nisan 1 starts tonight. Woohoo! At sunset, the day begins. On the Hebrew calendars, especially in relationship to the holy days, sunset marks the beginning of the new day. So tonight is Nisan 1 at about 7:20 p.m. in Denver. Nisan, the first month of the year. This is where we celebrate our new year. So, in light of that, a little bit early, Happy New Year, everyone. Now, God says, I want you on the 10th of this month to take a lamb. Is it the 10th? Did I say the 10th? Okay, good. What? Yeah. We take down the slide too. I'm in trouble. Okay. You take the lamb into your home. Now, can you imagine this? Can you imagine? Anyone have pets? Yeah. You know what happens when you name your pet? You can never eat him. He's a person now, right? So you take your lamb into your household, and you can imagine everyone relating to the lamb, this cute little lamb. It's barely a year old, right? The kids, the family, and you're getting accustomed to the lamb that you bring in. And then something shocking takes place on the 14th. It says, verse 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. How many people have ever saw an animal slaughtered for food? A few of you have. Most of us haven't. Yeah. It's pretty brutal. You know, animals, they have a nephesh, like we have a nephesh. They are living souls. That's how they can make an atonement on the altar, because they too are living souls. When an animal is slaughtered, it's a very, very, it's a very disturbing experience if you value life, if you understand the worth of a soul. And if you have relationship with the animal, it's even much more difficult. We all know what it's like when you lose one of your pets, man, it hurts. Imagine killing all the lambs. Imagine all the children in the families witnessing that. Pretty shocking. The point of this is that everyone is complicit in the killing of the lamb. Everyone, all of Israel, everyone's complicit in the killing of the lamb. Who killed the lamb? We did. The type and shadow of Yeshua, right? Yeah. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, who killed Jesus? Well, those Jewish people killed Jesus. You hear that? I mean, we've heard that trope in every generation. The Jews have killed Jesus. Not us. We didn't kill him. Well, then you have no redemption. Only those whose sins required his death have the opportunity for redemption. No, the lesson that we learn in the types and shadows is we're all responsible for killing Yeshua, the Lamb of God. Our sins required his death on the cross. There's a mystery in that that's profound in every way. So he goes on to say, you shall take some of the blood of the slain lamb, and you're going to put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of your houses in which you eat it. It says, they shall eat the flesh at night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread, bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted with its head and its legs and its inner parts. Aren't you glad that's the OG version? We don't have to do the inner parts today. We're just going to eat the outer parts, if that's okay with you. Okay, so you shall not let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains to the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. Verse 11, it is the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. It belongs to him. It's his idea. It's the revelation of his plan of how he's going to save all of us. By what? By allowing the slaughter of his son on the cross, his lamb on our behalf. We bring lambs to him year after year after year. He says, the day is coming in which I'll bring my lamb for you, providing for your salvation. I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. I will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Excuse me. The blood shall be a sign for you. Every one of the holy days has a sign embedded in it. The sign of Passover is the blood of the Lamb. That's the central symbol of Passover, the blood of the Lamb. When I see the blood, I'm passing over you, and I'm going to pour the wrath, my wrath, out on Egypt for its stubborn, unrepentant rebellion against me and my ways. It's a type and shadow of when he judges the world at the end of the age. He's going to judge the living and the dead, everything and everyone. And for those who have received Jesus, when he sees the blood of his son as an atonement for you, he's passing over you. The world gets the wrath of God. We get the blessing of God. That's what's tied into this holy day, this holy week. Verse 14, this day shall be for you a memorial day. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. Everyone say forever.
Forever.
You shall keep it as a feast. That's what we're going to do. We do this every year. We have a big festival. We're going to eat and drink and sing and rejoice in the fulfillment of Jesus in this Passover event that orients us to the past and to the future so that we have the grit to live in our present context. This is what keeps us centered in Jesus, focused on Jesus. This is what informs the next generation, our children, so that the Lord has a people in every generation moving forward to be a witness of His grace, His offer of salvation to everyone. I'm out of time. I'll have to pick this up next week. Boo. Okay. Let me finish by saying this. We have a 14-day devotional, 14 days until Passover. For the next 14 days, day one begins tonight at sunset. The next 14 days up to Passover, I have a devotional. And in the devotional, it has, let's see, a scripture reading. It's all centered around Jesus and his passion. So a scripture reading, a reflection on that, a prayer related to that, a response, your response to that, and a worship recommendation with a YouTube link. So you can just click on it, takes you to the YouTube, and you can watch that as well. Once a day, 14 days, let's get ready for Passover. Let's prepare our hearts for Passover. Let's not come into this casually. Let's come in with a storm of excitement, hearts prepared to meet the Lord in this annual celebration once again. Now, these are on the back, on the rack. It's only for those that don't know how to navigate the web. If you know what you're doing on the web, go to our website, graftedin.com. And on our website, graftedin.com, there's a tab that says Get Involved. Click on it. It'll drop down, and you can click on the Spring Festivals 2025. Spring Festivals 2025. And just scroll down to the Passover Resources Devotional button. Boom. That whole thing will just open up for you. All the links work right there. You can do your devotional, click the link, take you right to YouTube, do it all in one space at one time, every day in the morning as you get ready for Passover. If you don't have that, pick up the brochure and then sing a cappella if you can't get to the YouTube link. All right. I also have five calendars left for a suggested donation of $20. See me after the service. Man, I hate that. It sounds like a commercial. Shabbat shalom.